Welcome to Enlightenment of Change with Connie Whitman of Whitman & Associates. Here's Connie.
Welcome to Enlightenment of Change on webtalkradio.net. I'm your host, Connie Whitman. So I hope as you listen to the show week after week after week, because I know you do, right? I hope that you're feeling my passion to try to help you navigate change and whatever that means to you. Change has been hitting us on a global scale, but we all have little changes we're going through as well. And I also hope that my guests that I have on and the tools and resources and ideas and stories we share, that all of that helps you understand that change is probably easier than we often think, and that the resources are there to help you with that. For me, I want to help you change your life. So whether you're building relationship with your clients or family, or you're looking to scale your business or improve your sales, whatever it is, I want you to create the life that you desire and really that we all deserve. So thank you always for joining me weekly, and I hope you are inspired by the show. So my vote, of course, I'm starting with my motivational quote to set the stage for the show today. And the quote is by Gabe Zickerman. And Gabe says, gamification is 75% psychological and 25% technological. So, okay, after hearing my quote, I know you're thinking, what the heck is Connie talking about now? Well, I'm trying to keep you on your toes, certainly. That's why I bring these different topics to you. But I also want to share the new things that I'm learning during my shift with my business turning to everything online, which is happening after COVID. Now, after listening to the show, you're going to see how to roll with these changes, hopefully easier than we often think, and have fun and build our business from this new intriguing perspective called gamification. Now, since COVID, using technology online has become kind of a new skill that we had to quickly learn and navigate. And the question is, are your online interactions on Zoom, Skype, etc., are they boring or are they engaging? And the reality is they should be engaging and fun, at least to some extent. I know sometimes meetings are serious, but right now you're in store for a real fun treat, and I hope this will help you navigate the technology going forward. So today my guest is Mary Nunnally. Now, Mary is a master instructional designer and enjoys working with clients to create engaging, interactive learning experiences. A lifelong gamer herself, she is also a student of gamification and enjoys sharing ways to employ game strategy and gamification concepts to projects. Originally from Chicago, she currently lives in Nashville. Go Nashville. Most fun place ever. When she's not on the computer creating content, she's in the kitchen creating treats or crocheting couches? I don't know if I said that right.
Couches.
Yeah. Couches. So please help me welcome my wonderful guest, Mary Nunnally, to the show. So, Mary, thanks for being on.
I am so happy to be here. Thanks for having me, Connie.
Yeah. When I met Mary, we were doing a challenge together during COVID, right? Because I'm a lifelong learner. Mary's a lifelong learner. And you hear things and you think, oh, you know, maybe I should learn about that. So that's where we met. And then when I met Mary on the email, you know, the Facebook group, and she talked about this gamification, and immediately, because obviously I train and am live training Mary, we have so much fun. I do goofy things. We play paddle ball games, and when you're having fun, you're learning, right? So I believe in gaming in the live version, but now I'm finding it in the digital world. Holy crap, what do I do now, right? I can't be doing paddleball because there's no teams and all of these things. So Mary had gamification, and I was like, I need to talk to you. I think I stalked you for a while.
Hey, it worked out.
It all worked out. So, and I think you were surprised that I even knew what gamification was, because it's, you know, like in my intro, people are like, now what the heck is Connie talking about gamification? Like, what's that? So what are the benefits to creating first? Let's kind of back up before we get into the gamification piece. But really, what are the benefits of creating these online classes, especially now?
So that's a great question, Connie. And there's several benefits to doing online classes. So first of all, if you've got an online version of your class and you're doing live training, because someday we're going to be allowed to get back into the physical space and do some live training, it's a great tool for somebody who missed class. It's also a great refresher So it could also be used as pre-work. So you may say, take this online class. Now we're going to get together for a face-to-face or a live Zoom or however you want to do it. But they've done some pre-work. So that also controls some costs. So especially if you're a corporation, now you have people do pre-work online. You can cover in about 30 minutes what would take you two and a half hours in a face-to-face setting. And now you can get into the real nuts and bolts. So, for example, I've got a client right now that I'm working with. Much like everybody else, they had to move all their training online. What they found is they were able to decrease FaceTime, like actual interaction in the classroom, by about 50% because all of their staff did the pre-work. And so when they came to the live Zoom, they already had this foundation and this understanding of the material. So now it wasn't, oh, well, Mary's an expert on this and Connie's just learning it. And so now we're getting beginner questions. That pre-work online training addressed those issues. For solopreneurs, it's also great because if you're a solopreneur or an individual course creator, again, you don't have to worry about booking a meeting room. You don't have to worry about doing the advertising. And your content can be evergreen. So you can sell that same course over and over and over again with a new audience every time. So, you know, when you're doing face-to-face, every time is a brand new experience, even if the material is the same for you. When it's online, when it's done correctly, you can constantly bring new people in that need this information, and every day is not a brand new day. So it's kind of like you don't have to, it's almost like Groundhog Day for your online course versus in the face-to-face world where you just don't know what you're going to get. So those are kind of my basic, you know, fundamental thoughts about why this online is good. Just as background, I have been taking online classes since it first became a thing. And people are like, what, you're doing your master's degree online? I'm like, sure, why not?
Yeah, like Phoenix University, I think they've been doing online, even PhD programs for 20 years. So right. this is, you know, I mean, they were clearly ahead of the learning curve. Right now, all these universities and even high schools, middle schools, the little kids' schools, they all had a kind of pivot with COVID. So it's just been an interesting transition. And it's funny because last summer, I started thinking as I'm aging, to travel and do all live events. I was 100% live with all my corporate clients. It was physically and mentally really fatiguing me. So last year, I have all this curriculum over 20 years created. So I made a concerted effort to say, I need to start creating a digital platform because then my clients have options, which is always such a great thing.
Yes.
Now you can offer varied costs, which is another great thing because budgets are real, right, with corporations and, of course, right. with any business owner. And so I started that shift last year, and then COVID hit, and I, like you, jumped into hyper gear with creating a class. So that's when I met you, and I knew that this shift to online – yes, I have high energy. Yes, I'm going to do the code. You know, they're going to learn the curriculum through. I did videos because it's me. I want my personality and energy to come through, and I joke around on the videos and all of that. But then when we get live in the live, it's going to be Zoom coaching calls. I can make it more engaging. But how do you make the curriculum engaging before they even get to this? What we write this live interaction on Zoom or whatever it is. So that's why the gamification intrigued me, because I've been doing this so long, Mayor, that I know if people aren't engaged and having fun and hearing stories and connecting the content to a story, that's where they get it, right? The light bulbs go off. So for me, now shifting to this digital world, I know I'm good live because you feel my energy. So now I'm thinking, oh, I got to make sure they feel my energy in this format and learn, you know, at the end of it, because we don't have time or money to waste. For me, it's, oh, time and money are such commodities that to think that we're wasting it makes me shudder. So I was so excited to meet you. But everything you said about that online, I agree 100%. And I think now for businesses, for corporations, because a lot of my my corporate clients are mm-hmm. saying, geez, what happens next year? What happens the year after that? Can we do a blended learning where we do exactly what you said, some online and then some live, so that we keep costs down, but we keep that social distancing going, which we know is probably going to be here for the long haul. At least that's the assumption right now. Right. So this is really an important topic for any organization and any business owner. I think everybody could value from this topic today. So now, as you look at your online personality and presentation and all of that, what is the ratio of that humor? Like I said, I'm a jokester a little bit. The right. fun that you should use, and you know, like that 30 to 70 sec. Like what's the ratios that work without being a goofball and losing that professional edge?
No, and that's a really good question. And there's not like a simple answer, because it's also going to depend on the material that you're teaching.
Yeah.
So, for example, I was on a call this morning with somebody who wants me to develop some OSHA fire safety training potentially. Hmm. Well, I'm going to have to be much more careful about humor, because we're talking life or death.
Yeah.
But you can still interject stories. You can still interject, let me tell you about a time. And if you've got a ratio of, depending again on the topic, somewhere between 10 and 30% of lighter, more humorous, then you're in good shape. The other thing is, whether it's a completely online course or a Zoom course, make sure that you take pauses in the material every 5 to 7 minutes to shift gears, so that the audience doesn't lose their attention. It's really hard on Zoom because you get so easily distracted, or any other online platform. But even in a completely asynchronous course, if you're just watching video after video after video and it's 30 minutes, you get into the click next to continue syndrome. And I think most of us have been there at some point. It's like next, next. So break it up. You know, have them do something, whether it's a knowledge question, whether it's a little mini game, something to go, stop, change the brain. Now we need to concentrate and let your brain have a couple of minutes to process what they just learned.
Give me an example of, so a break. What might that look? Give me, you mentioned two things. Can you give me an mm-hmm. example of what each might look like?
Sure. So let's start off with a synchronous live doing a Zoom or something like we're doing right now. So I've just given you a lot of information. What I could do now is pull up one of the tools in that platform and say, okay, I'm going to bring up an empty PowerPoint, and it's got three images on it of something that we just covered in the last 5 to 7 minutes of, I'm going to call it lecture for lack of a better term. Everybody in the class, go ahead, use your annotation tools that you have in Zoom and put a little arrow and circle something on this picture that's not right. Or write a little comment, or use the sticker tool, using the tools that are built into the platform. Because now it's like, oh, shoot, I got to remember what you just talked about. So I really couldn't get away answering emails, because they're going to notice if I haven't participated. So that would be one example of in a live classroom setting. In a asynchronous, if you build in something like even just a simple knowledge check question, make it a little more engaging, have a drag and drop activity. So that same concept that we did in Zoom, you could say, okay, drag the three things that are positives about cost accounting into this file cabinet, and draw the three things that are negative into this file cabinet. Now you are engaging them mentally. You're engaging them physically, because they're doing this activity of drag and drop. So somewhat creating what you do in the classroom, whether it's with playing a game or, but now they're behind their computer. It's like, oh, this is kind of fun. I have to think about it. If you really want to up at a level, add a timer. You have 15 seconds to put things in the right bucket. Now it's like, and now we're also starting to build a little of that gamification in there, because now there's some competition.
I love it.
I'm competing against the computer and I'm competing against myself, but did I do it? Keep in mind, though, some people are going to get stressed out by that timer. So you want to make sure that there's a mix. Don't have everything with the timer. Don't have, but just a couple off the head, you know, ideas that you could use.
That is awesome. And every one of them, everybody listening, I'm thinking, oh my God, that would be so much fun if I was in on a Zoom, or if I was in a class and it was like, okay, pattern interrupt, you're going to do this now. You're like, what? But it keeps uh-huh. you awake, and it keeps you focused, and it keeps you energized, which is really important, you know, when you're in this world, right? This digital world.
That's it.
What's the difference between gameplay and gamification? I know I'm using that word. I love that, by the way, I love that word, gamification. education. Like, it's the coolest word ever, right? But what's the difference between the two?
Okay, great question. And you're going to find lots of debate on this. And a lot of people think that gameplay is gamification. Some people also think gamification just means leaderboards and badges, and that's really not it. So gameplay is playing a game, whether it be a card game, a board game, something that you create online, that may or may not be assessing the results, but it's fun. And at its core, people play games because they're fun. Gamification is really taking game elements to change behavior. And then the way that it is demonstrated is through tools like leaderboards, badges, those types of things. But at its core, gamification wants to change behavior by using elements of games that could be fun. So an example, Starbucks is a classic example of gamification in business. They have their Starbucks reward card. And every time you go to Starbucks, you get points and you get little stars. And when you earn a certain number of stars, you can trade them in for a reward. Could be a free cup of coffee, could be something else. But periodically, they put more of the game element into it because they'll send you things like, oh, I see that you eat, you know, you purchase caramel frappuccinos and tea. So if you buy three frappuccinos and a tea in the next 3 days, we're going to reward you with extra stars. So now they're kind of making it a game for me to get me into the store, but I'm also being rewarded.
Brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. And it's fun for the person because especially if they were going to go get their frappuccino or go get their tea or whatever it is, right? So it's like it compels you to want to do it in the 3 days. So there's an element of urgency that you can build as well, depending on your business, right? I love that. Right. That's amazing. What are some of the benefits of using the gamification practices?
Another great question. So there's several benefits. First of all, in an online course or in business in general, it tends to make the people participating more engaged. So for people that aren't really competitive, it's still, oh, I want a prize. For people who are very competitive, it might be, I want to be at the top of the leaderboard. And for the people in the middle, it's sometimes like, well, shoot, you know, so-and-so's doing this, and so I'm part of that peer group. I don't want to be the only one not. So that fear of missing out comes into play a little bit as well. And with applying those gamification principles, though, you can use it for the good to change behaviors. So if you notice in your course that nobody's turning in their homework or nobody is participating in your discussion in the asynchronous course, you can gamify that and say, okay, so if you do X, Y, Z over the course of X number of days or hours or however, then there's going to be a reward. And that reward in an academic setting might be a free pass for no homework. In a corporate setting, it might be you get an extra 15 minutes on a coffee break. So it doesn't have to be specifically related to the course itself, but it's a way to motivate people to say, oh, I want to do that. I want that free, you know, I want that 15 minutes, or I want. And there's a lot more that we could go into if you really wanted to get deep down about the difference between white hat gamification and black hat. But at its core, it's about changing behaviors and making it fun to do it.
And here's the thing. I know when I'm training, you know, my corporate clients or my clients, my business owners are hiring me to change behavior. So,
exactly.
You know, I try to stay relevant so that, yeah, we're going to move the needle. We're going to get you where you need to go, right? On the back end, the company is doing coaching and other things to support after the training is complete. So it can't just be on the trainer or whoever, right? But there's a team effort there. But moving that needle of changing behavior, we want to do it in as quickly a fashion as possible. So I love this idea of the gamification. I do the gameplay, I guess, like, and I tease because, like, I have Whitman pens and I have the spinners and I think I have flashlights that you could put in your little flashlights for your car, or women can put it on their keychain. So I always say valuable prizes. This is a competition. And then we do a paddleball exercise, and whoever gets the improves the most after the coaching, it's a coaching exercise, you know, they win and they get to choose which prize do you want. So the prize certainly is not significant. They're nice prizes, but they're not significant. But the idea of winning, they get so excited. And then if they win twice, they're like, ooh, I get another. It feels good to win. And
it does. It really does.
It feels good. And the other thing I think, the reason I do gameplay, and now I'm learning about this gamification for my online stuff, because I want to be relevant. I want it to be, I want to be the vendor of choice, right? That people say, not only is she good and knowledgeable and, you know, my employees love her, but she brings elements that the other vendors just aren't, right? So you want to stay relevant and up to date. So for me, this is important. But this complements my personality because I like to have fun. The other thing why I love the gamification is because I think we are often, even as children, if you don't do this, you're going to lose a privilege. And I know that happens in organizations and in businesses where, well, if you don't do this, you're going to lose commission, or if you don't do this, you're going to have to work overtime and not get paid or whatever, you know.
Right.
So it's not that it's always punitive, but it's like, if you don't do this, there's a repercussion, and not in a good way. So the gamification is changing the behavior with that positive reinforcement. And I love that. I think that feels better for humans. Here's the thing, though, Mara, you probably see this all the time. It doesn't work sometimes. People just don't give a crap. But for me, you know, you go back to the client and say, hey, listen, maybe this, not that I ever go back and tattle, but if that organization knows that the employee is a problem, and they're going through all of this training that you're paying for them to go through, and they stay the same, the problem isn't the training or the organization's at fault, right? It's the employee. But then to me, that's another conversation. Now we're not doing coaching and developmental stuff. You have to go down through your disciplinary action. So most, I would think 80% that are in these courses and classes and what have you, are going to respond to the gamification in that positive way that you just described. So I just want people to stop and think, right? It's not, oh, do gamification, we get 100% engagement.
No.
You still have the human component, and some people, they don't want to improve. They like things the way, you know, and everybody listening knows, you're thinking of people as I'm saying that. So organizations have to try to do the best and offer the best education, and then just realize humans are still humans at the end. How can I make... go ahead, I'm sorry.
No, I was just going to say, and that's the thing to remember, is that you could have the best gamified system on the planet, but you're still not going to get 100% participation. Going back to my Starbucks example, maybe I'm not in the mood for Starbucks when they send me that, like, hey, if you go for the next 3 days, and I'm like, well, shoot, I just made iced tea at home. Why would I want to go to Starbucks and get tea? But it's keeping that focus, like you said, on that 80%, that it is going to focus on the behavioral change.
Yeah. You know, the 80-20 rule, everybody knows, the Pareto principle. It's alive and well in every aspect of our life, both your personal and your professional. So I know that 80% of the people that come through my class, you're going to have the bell curve. You're going to have the top 20%. They're going to run rock and roll. They hear it once. They got it. They're high performers. Go and conquer the world. God bless you. The magic happens in that middle 60%. And that's where the gamification, you move the 60% a little bit further and faster. The bottom 20%, they don't care. So they're going to still be in their bottom. I'm not going to manage the 20%. I'm really managing that 60% in the middle. And that's
exactly it.
Right? That's what we have to think about. So the 80-20 principle is alive and well everywhere.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah, yeah. Now, how can I make my virtual training more engaging for the people attending? So my live stuff, I'm taking it, and now I'm creating a digital membership site kind of thing. What are some of the things that I can do that was traditional training, now I'm going virtually? What are some of the things that you would recommend, for example, if somebody else is in the same position as me?
Right. So a couple of things. First of all, there are lots of templates and things online, or there's companies like my company that you can hire to help build some learning games, just to put some of that game element in. I just built one with a magic eight ball. We built a hygiene course. And so it was a magic eight ball about bacteria and viruses. Really, it's just a basic knowledge check, but you added that element in, and it just added that extra fun, just like you would do in the classroom. So that would be one thing you can do. The other thing is, you can create your own version of a leaderboard or a gamified system without investing thousands of dollars in a gamification platform. So you might create a simple self-reporting Google form that you put into your course that students self-report on some elements. Others, you can just run statistics from your course learning management system to go, okay, Mary logged in 5 times, whatever you set your parameters for, and then send out a weekly email that says, hey, congratulations, Connie was at the top of the charts this week because she logged in and participated in every single discussion and provided valid feedback to 3 of her classmates as I asked. So it's building that recognition in for the behaviors that you want to see with your learners. So that's another way to just add a little bit of fun, because what I've seen happen then is people are like, wait a minute, I want my name in the email. How come she got her name in the email? And so you don't have to have this complex system, but it's just a way to do it. Another thing is using software like Kahoot that you can use in a live classroom. And it's like a mini game show instant quizzing, but you can do Kahoots or you can do online scavenger hunts. There's software out there that allows you to create that through your course. So thinking like about onboarding training, for example, a lot of companies do scavenger hunts to learn about the officers. Build an online scavenger hunt in your game.
Cool.
Or in your course, rather, not your game. But that gets people's like, okay, I'm going to do an online scavenger hunt. And you want to put little, you know, just like you do in the movies, drop little Easter eggs in your course. That's another way to make it fun. You know, and at the end, you're just like, okay, so I dropped these 5 little Easter eggs in here. First person who can tell me what all 5 are and give me a screenshot, you're going to get a prize, you know, and that prize, again, could be something like 15 minutes extra on a break that you arrange in advance with their employer. It could be, if you're doing solopreneur, it could be a $15 Amazon gift card. I mean, you know, the sky's the limit. Could be a book. But those are just some things off the top of my head that you can do to make your courses fun.
I love that. Scavenger hunt, you know. It just, there's so many, and I'm older, right? So that's why when I met you, I was like, oh, I got to learn about this because I know I don't know that, right? So big blind spot. So, I, you know, you hear things and then it, like, again, synchronicity, all of a sudden you know, I do gamification. I was like, what? Zeroed right in on that Facebook. I'm like, okay, we need to meet. How soon can we meet? Like, then I go into stalker mode, right?
Yeah. Like, can we talk tomorrow?
Yeah, yeah. Totally stalker mode, right? Because I want it done now. I want it learned now. It's so funny. Not always a good thing, right? A little bit of a pain in the neck at times. But the other thing, and I want to share this because I think this is really cool too, Mare. You're going to help me create a little intro video when I put my stuff online, like on LinkedIn and stuff, to try to find new people to have come and have fun with me and learn, right, if they have sales teams and whatever. And we're going to do that little intro. Just describe what that is, because I won't do it justice.
Sure. So one of the things that we also do to help make courses more fun or to promote courses is we build short animated, what is typically referred to as an explainer video. Back in the old days, and you know, old days being 7 or 8 years ago, It was the hand that was just drawing things on a whiteboard.
Yeah.
And that was like cool. So the technology is advanced. So now you can do animated characters that you can customize to look like yourself, different backgrounds. The lips can sync with your mouth. So it's like your words coming out of this cartoon character. And you can use it to tell a story or market your course. So that's just one of the other fun things. It's also something that you could use in your online courses judiciously, just as like a review or something that's a little bit different, because it just grabs people's attention. Just like anything, you don't want to overdo it.
Right.
But it can be a lot of fun.
Yeah. And one of my friends from California, she was promoting her new program. She's freaking brilliant. Shout out to my Charisse in California. And you did the video. And I'm like, oh, my God, send me the video. And then I was like, I get on the phone with her. I'm like, oh, my God, it's awesome. And it's her voice and the animation. It was so cool, but you understood what she was trying to do, and she was doing a free little challenge for her peeps, right, in her community,
right,
which was just really nice of her. And it clearly explained what you were going to get from the 3-day, you know, little masterclass that she was creating. So there's so many things that are available now that I was excited to have you on the show, Mare, because people don't know. And let me rephrase that. Because everything is shifting quickly and we're building these skills quickly, what happens is you go into triage mode so you can get by on a Zoom meeting, or you can get by, you know, doing what we're doing for the show. The flip side, though, is what am I missing? And for me, if you're really creating a long-term solution to your organization's training or whatever, I think the gamification is just a critical piece of that, so that it's not just a talking head on a video, like you said, going next. I'd kill if onboarding for me, if I joined an organization, Mayor, and they were like, watch these 20 videos, I would kill myself. I'd be like, what am I doing here? What was I thinking? So there are even simple things, sexual harassment training. Why can't we create these gamifications within something like that, that it, you have to do, yes, for compliance purposes, yes, but you certainly can create, like the OSHA, like you're doing the OSHA. You could still create some good energy so that it's not just, oh my God, pins in my eyes. How long is this stupid video? I want to kill myself right now. Right. So yeah, I think that's
important.
And that's
exactly it. It's, you make it engaging, keep it short and to the point, break things up. Yeah. That would be my key thing. And then if it makes sense, apply gamification and game techniques to look at the behaviors you want to change and go from there. So that would be my one piece of advice. If somebody's thinking about moving to a gamified learning model, you really want to be clear up front. What are the behaviors that you're trying to change, and how are you going to measure it so that it's also relevant to the student? Because if it's, you know, if it's just like, oh, great, I get a badge because I logged into class today, people are just going to, but it's not changing behavior versus, oh, I get a badge because I helped three of my classmates and responded to their question.
Right.
And now you're a community builder.
Yeah.
And if that's important to you, you're going to go after that particular badge. But for you as the instructor, it's like, oh, great. Now, you know, it's just like with Facebook. Once people start commenting on your posts, more people start commenting on your posts, and now more people see it. It's the same thing in an online course.
Snowball effect,
yes,
right?
Exactly.
It gets an energy of its own, and then it propels it forward, grows, and builds. The energy just keeps building and catapulting, which is kind of cool when you see it happen, right?
And then when you move your courses online, people are going to go, oh, man, those courses with Connie are so cool. You should go sign up and take that class.
Absolutely. That's the hope, right? And the thing is, that there really is a benefit, not just, oh, you should go take Connie's course because I took it. It's, you should take Connie's course. This is what I learned. I can't believe in 3 weeks or 6 weeks or whatever it is that I went from here to here. And oh my God, it was the most fun I've ever had learning. And that's what I want people to say after they leave any of my training, whether it's live or now, again, as I shift to this digital world, I want people to feel empowered and strengthened and look back and go, that was the most fun I've had. And holy crap, look at all these things I learned on the back end.
Exactly,
it's got to
yes.
be measurable, right? We want measurable experiences, but we want measurable. For me, it's always about the results. What are the results we're getting?
Exactly.
You know, it's got change in behavior has to be at the core. So that was very well said. We're actually out of time. Is there anything else that I did not ask a question? Because again, remember, I still have my blind spots. I'm aware. I am navigating this gently, because I certainly am not the expert you are. But is there something people should, that we didn't talk about, that people should be aware of if they're thinking about creating more corporations too that are listening? Because I have a lot of home. HR people who listen to the show, who take, they control the training departments within the organizations. So I know my clients, their internal training departments are looking for membership sites and all the other things. So is there anything else that you would say look into or be aware of? What would that be?
I would just say the key thing is just be very clear on what it is that you're trying to accomplish by gamifying your program, or what you're trying to accomplish by going virtually, because your learners, whether they're employees or students, they're going to know if you're disjointed, and then every decision is driven from there.
Right.
So
right.
Don't fall under shiny object syndrome either, just because it's like, oh, gamification is the hot word.
Yeah.
If it doesn't make sense for your organization, don't do it.
Okay, good.
That's almost like talking myself out of a job here, but I mean, it really.
Well, here's the thing, too. When we spoke, you know, a while back, because I, again, my program is coming out, my online program, and I said to you, I don't know what to do. And you said, listen, we could start with this, and then we can always add as you get more comfortable, as you figure out how to input different things into the pro, because this is a new world for me, right? So you said we can add, like you can always go back and add. You don't want to do, it's not about doing it right or wrong. Try it. And if like crickets when you do it, we just go back and we can change it to something else. We could scale it up or whatever. So that made me real comfortable in that I do want to work with you on this. Number one, I trust you because I think that you have so much experience and you, after we spoke, I was like, holy crap, I understood that. And it wasn't this foreign thing anymore. And I thought, okay, I understand that I'm not 100%, but I trust you to guide me to say, add this, do that, have this, which is helpful for me. And then we can always blow it out later on. After we try some things out. So I loved that about you. You weren't about, well, we need to do it for the whole program. You were like, it's okay. We could try little things and incorporate and build so it makes sense. So that, to me, is a win-win because you're still educating me along the process, which is important.
Thanks. Yeah, you know? And that's the key thing. It's just like start small and then grow from there.
Yes, absolutely. And the hope is, too, Mayor, that as my programs and I get more followers on, you know, the internet, you know, in the digital world, not just my corporate clients, that then as revenue comes in, I can make them even better and better and better. I'm never satisfied. I'm always updating my program. I'm like, oh, I learned something new. I got to include that statistic. Like, that's an important statistic. So it's never, my programs, I feel, are fluid. They change constantly because information changes constantly. Mm-hmm. So to me, as revenue comes in, I'm going to make them better and better and better and better because that's just who I am. I want people to get the best, right? You want people to get the best. And I think that's important for anybody, no matter what you're creating, you want to do it wisely within budget. And what is the end result we're looking for? And how can we just drive that to get the results that whatever organization it is needs? At the end, it's always about the results, right?
Exactly. And that's it.
Yeah. So here's
great.
Yeah. Here's the deal, guys. I know you need more Mary in your life. I know I need more Mary in my life. Okay. Go to her website. It's lavenderdragonteam.com. And if you have specific questions for Mary that you're now intrigued and don't fully understand, all of the content that we went through, because I'm learning as well. Okay. So I was really listening to Mary so I continue my education with this, but email Mary. It's Mary Nunnally, N-U-N-A-L-E-Y, Mary, M-A-R-Y. So Mary Nunnally at lavenderdragonteam.com. And she's happy to help you any way you can. And I will say that we spent maybe a half hour on the phone and it was an enlightenment for me. Enlightenment of change. I didn't even do that on purpose. Little plug for the show, right? But it truly, I walked away saying, oh my God, this is like the coolest thing ever. And for me, it was, I need to do this, not should I do it, after our conversation. So I thank you for that consultation. It was truly helpful.
You are so welcome. And I thank you for letting me be a guest on your show.
Oh, we have fun. I know all the people are listening going, she is such a nerd. She's getting excited about, and all the younger listeners are thinking, okay, she really is a dinosaur, you know, this gamification, but it's okay. I own my nerdiness. Is that a word? Own my nerdiness.
Oh, yes. Yeah, I totally. Own your inner nerd. I love it.
I own my inner nerd, right? So, and guys, listen, another resource, you know, go to my website for your free communication style assessment, CSA, communication style assessment. Go to whitmanassos.com/CSA. It's a free resource. You get a little report and it tells you what your superpowers are from a communication standpoint and what some of your blind spots are. Sometimes I think the blind spots are more important than our superpowers, right? Because we have to be mindful of that. Find out if you perhaps are a heartfelt advocate. Or are you a stimulating motivator? Are you an innovative organizer? Are you an observing designer? Or are you a precise assessor? And I'm not going to tell you what you are. You have to go and seek the information. So check it out. And you can always email me with questions at Connie@WhitmanAssociates.com. Mayor, thanks again for being on. A fun show. For me, this was a fun show. And the
this
more,
was great.
And I love learning. So this was really educational for me. So thank you so much for that as well.
It is my pleasure. Have a wonderful day, everyone.
Yes. And you and I, you're going to be sick of me because I'm going to be like, can we do this? And can we do this? So you'll be sick of me. Yeah. You're kind of stuck with me, kid. I'm sorry. Right.
All right.
Yeah. I love it. Thank you again for being such a great guest. You guys, I hope you will join me weekly as we question, build, and discover together that no matter what change, right, I'm sharing change in my life, no matter what change you're going through, I really hope my guests, my resources, the variety of topics that we discuss and the free resources that we share, I really hope they help you. And I hope they inspire you to make that change wherever you are and wherever point you are in your life. I hope that you're inspired to do that. Mary, thank you again for being on. And thank you all for listening. You've been listening to Enlightenment of Change with me, your host, Connie Whitman, on webtalkradio.net. I wish you all an inspired week, guys. And see what gamification you can add in your life. I know I'm going to try.